Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 189. And my guest on the show today is Carmen, having her dream interpreted. But just before we go there, I'd like to share some exciting news. Well, I think it's exciting anyway, and I think you will too. We've now launched the Dream Academy. Now, many of you will know that the usual website address I give is janetheresa.com. That's Jane Theresa without an H. And it's still there and it will always be there. So you can go there and find out everything you need to know about me and the Dream Show and all sorts of things. But we now also have the Dream Academy. And I'll give you the website address first so that you can jot it down. The address is dream-academy-online.com. So that's not underscore, that's dash, dream-academy-online.com. And when you go there, you'll find out all sorts of things. And you'll find out that we have put the first e-learning course in there. There will be many more to come over the years and all sorts of other exciting developments, which we've kind of outlined and hinted about on the site. But to begin with, we've got an e-learning course up there called How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. Now, it's organized, that course, for anybody, whether you're an absolute beginner and have never tried to understand a dream before, or whether you're actually quite experienced and have been doing this thing for a while. The course is designed to go at your own pace and to teach you what you need to know. So I'll let you go to dreamacademyonline.com to find out all the details, but one little thing that I will tell you about it is that it's got lots of videos, it's got course notes, it's got quizzes, it's got other things, and it's also got a downloadable thing called a dream interpretation chart. And it's a chart that I've devised and tested and I'm really pleased with, and it seems to be working really well. And the idea is that you print out a dream interpretation chart, or you download one online. Every time you do the course, you can go through with a different dream, and I'll lead you through the tools and techniques, and then I'll say something like, now fill in your answer on question 3 on your dream interpretation chart, and it continues like that, so that by the end of the course, or each time you go through it, you'll have a dream interpretation chart for one particular dream that you've taken through the system, and you'll have a really good idea about what it means. So it's both a course to learn how to interpret your dream step by step, and it doubles up as a feature where you can always sit down, because once you've signed up for the course, you've got it forever. You can always sit down and print out your dream interpretation chart and go through it with one dream, any dream, you know, keep going through with another dream, and follow the steps and end up with a dream interpretation. So because I'm so excited, and because you are my dedicated listeners on The Dream Show, of course I'm going to give you a coupon to give you 20% off. The price is actually $90, and that's 90 Australian dollars. So at the time of recording this, that's in US dollars, is round about 69 US dollars. It's also round about 56 UK pounds. The rest of you will have a fair idea of your currency just based on those exchange rates. So if you use the coupon podcast, took me a lot of time to come up with something original like that. The coupon is podcast, all in lowercase. If you use that when you sign up, you'll get 20% off. Now, there is an expiry date on this coupon, so you'll need to be quick. Well, you've got 2 weeks. So it expires on the 15th of April, the 90 Australian dollars. So I hope you'll do that and enjoy it. I know that you will love it. So that's for you to do after you've listened to Carmen's interpretation, or maybe you just want to press pause and go and do that quickly first. But either way, before Carmen comes on to the show, I'll just say, for those of you that have not encountered the Dream Show before, that when we have a guest on, and Carmen was on by phone, when we have a guest on from anywhere in the world, the idea is that I know nothing about the dream before we start recording. So we have already recorded that segment. I'm just adding this bit in now. So what you'll hear is you'll hear me say hello to Carmen, and you'll hear Carmen tell her dream at exactly the same time as I hear it in the recording. And that way, I think it makes it interesting for you hearing us. We fathom through it together. So here's Carmen. Welcome to the Dream Show, Carmen.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. How's your day been? Because I know you're in Brisbane and it's late afternoon for all of us, isn't it? So you have had a day so far.
Yes, I have. I can't see outside. I don't have a window in the office that I'm in, but I trust that it is usual soupy, hot Brisbane weather outside.
Lucky you, you've got an air-conditioned office.
I know. I love work in this season.
Okay, and I love dreams in this season. And as usual, I have no idea what any guest is bringing to me. You contacted me. You said, I think I've got an interesting dream that you'd love to have on the dream show. So tell it to me.
Okay. So this dream is in two parts, but they're very related. And so in the dream, I'm at university and I have gone back to university to do further study. It's at a very high level and I'm confused because I think I also work at the university, and in real life I work at a university. Mm. I just feel very confused and also a little bit like what I'm doing. I'm around a lot younger people, and I'm struggling to find the point. Anyway, in my cohort, I can't exactly remember who the people were. I don't recognise anybody, but I have to go along to some seminars that will train me in how to do presentations and to speak. And I thought in the dream, I had the thought, well, this is good. I've never been formally trained in how to give a presentation, so that's good. And almost immediately, the other thought came into my head, which is, well, that's nonsense. I'm very experienced in talking and giving presentations. I've got a PhD. This is ridiculous. And so there's all that kind of conflict going on. And so we're in a lecture theatre with a group of about 30 or 40 other people, and suddenly the next lecture people start coming in. And this is a big faux pas at university. You don't just wander in when the current lecture isn't finished. So they were a good 10 minutes or more early, and the next group comes in. My group is quite put out by this. And people start saying, sorry, you know, we're not finished yet. The next lecturer who comes in is this smiling woman. She's African woman and she's got sort of long dark braids just past her shoulders, and she's smiling. And somewhere in all this, I just changed my attitude from being part of my group and being very annoyed at what we see as an early intrusion. Mm-hmm. And I go down to the new people and I say hi to the lecturer and I introduce myself, and it goes really well and we have a little chat. And I thought, well, that's better. It was a good decision to get away from the group that I didn't really relate to anyway. Mm. And then still at university, but just sort of a change of scene, I go into an office, and in this office there are a lot of young people, and there is a guy who he's the office manager, and in real life I know him from my work, and he's not in a similar role to that though. Anyway, the people in the office, a lot of whom are quite young, are rubbing their eyes, and I realise they're wearing pyjamas. And I said, what's going on here? And they said, oh, a couple of times a week, we're allowed to just roll out of bed and come into work and get ready here instead of having the pressure of getting ready at home. And it also comes through that this particular office is run by the Scientologists, which is, okay. And for some reason, I'm outraged and I say to them, don't you see that if and any sort of authority is giving you such luxury and especially when you're in a tired state and you're young and all that type of thing, I said, you're going to get power taken away from you somewhere else. I don't trust this. And I don't like, you know, that you're coming to work, you're not prepared, you haven't had any personal time in the morning to get ready. And what you're seeing as a luxury, I would be very suspicious of. And that's the end of the dream.
I love how dreams can sometimes, you know, seem, yeah, this is a kind of everyday normal thing, and then suddenly there's the pajamas and this wonderful new kind of approach to life, and then, oh yes, the Scientologist, you know, and it gets more and more bizarre, doesn't it?
yeah. It is the type of dream where I think, oh, you know, it's mirroring so much of my waking life, and then it's just got these bizarro other bits in it that, yes, I thought, yeah, I want to explore this a bit.
Perfect, really lovely. I love the way that you've summarised that there and said there's so many bits that are mirroring your life, and yet there are the bizarre bits that don't seem to mirror your life or don't quite fit or seem more surreal. And I think, you know, we can often look at a dream and pick out, particularly as we become more adept at understanding our dreams, we can look at a dream and go, oh yeah, look, there's a reflection of what's happening in my personal life, or there's a reflection of what's happening in my professional life, or whatever, dressed up as a metaphor, but you know, there nevertheless. Mm-hmm. And then in the same token, these other bits that sometimes seem quite the opposite to what's happening, or just seem stand out, stupid, bizarre. And one of the first things you can usually do when you see that is ask yourself the question, I think if I explore these more bizarre or the parts of the dream that don't seem to relate to life, is it because they are reflecting my unconscious state? You know, consciously, you can say, oh, I've got this issue at work, or this conflict, or this feeling, or this thing is working out well, or this thing's not working out so well, and I can see all that in the dream, and that's reflecting my conscious mind. And then this is other stuff, which by definition probably represents my unconscious stuff, and that is where it's really interesting to explore, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
At the end of the dream, when you sort of gave them the sort of mini lecture and said, you know, came on all wise and mentoring and lecturing with them and said, you know, you're not prepared, you're not getting any personal time at work before you come in, how were they responding to you? Have you any idea how they were responding to that?
It's almost like I just said it to myself, because I don't try and actually win an argument, especially when religion is on the table, because I can't be bothered. And it's more like saying something before you leave. As in, I'm not going to get into an argument about it, but this is what I think. See you later.
Yes.
And so, no, they're all, you know, in their early 20s, sort of rubbing their eyes and stuff. And so I don't think they even felt like they were caught in the headlights or anything like that. They didn't feel the confrontation.
They were just living their normal life.
Yeah. And so, I thought, yeah, I'm not going to get into anything like this. I don't think I'm going to have a meaty conversation with them.
No. Yeah. And so just to clarify, that you said there's that sense of, because in life you prefer not to question or bring up conflict around religion, because you said you feel that if you say something and leave, it's almost like it's a leaving situation. I'm saying my thing and then I'm leaving. I'm not waiting for a response. That's what you said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got that a couple of times in the dream, that sense of, even by not actually speaking, by thinking that in your head at the end of the dream, you had that sense, and then I'm probably going to leave, but I'm not actually going to say it out loud. And then there was a sense in the lovely bit in the middle of the dream where you just swapped groups and decided to go with a new group, with the African lecturer, smiling, braids kind of group. So there's a couple of breakaways there, the breakaway from the original group to the African group, and then at the end, the sense of spoken or not spoken that I'm actually going to leave here. I'm saying my piece in my head and then I'm going to leave. So one of the things we want to be looking at as we explore your dream is, where's that coming from, and what's that reflecting in your life, and what can you learn from that, that sense of wanting to leave something behind and move on. So you said, yeah, quite early on, you said, again, just to be clear, you said when you found yourself back with your doing the higher study and you suddenly thought, oh, this is good because I'll be get some serious training in presentations and speaking. Yeah. Good because I've never been formally trained. And then that moment when you went, that's nonsense, I'm very experienced, a PhD. Did you mean...
Yeah.
That's nonsense. I've got lots of experience in public speaking and I've been trained, but I've never been trained.
It's that sense of, oh, okay, I'll start again from scratch. Maybe that'll be a nice, fresh start.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, no, I don't need to do a from scratch presentation, type of training. I've had quite a lot of that. And so it's like in one frame of mind I was ready to be a beginner again, and then in the next frame of mind it's me catching myself going, you don't have to begin again.
Yes, that's right. And I think a lot of people out there listening in might relate. I know in the past I've had that kind of dream where you're back at school or back at university or something doing a course and some small part of yourself during the dream goes, hang on a minute, I've already passed this, I've already done this, you know, I'm much further ahead than this. So there'll be a lot of people pricking up their ears going, yeah, I can kind of relate to this. But you did wake up to it in the dream and you actually changed groups as well, which was good. So at the beginning of the dream, there's a sense of, you said that you went back to an earlier class for further study at a high level. So why did you say it was at a high level? Was it at a high level but lower than where you are now?
No, well, I've got a PhD, so I had the sense that I was going in there with a PhD and that I was doing something on top of that, so some sort of postdoctoral thing. Now, why I was in a class of people and why I was irritated at studying, I don't know, because I suppose I didn't know the purpose of why I was there or what I was studying. And being part of this group, I knew that the other students were also at a... they seemed a lot younger than me in age, but they certainly weren't starting university. So they had a few qualifications under their belts, but I just felt so much older than them.
Yes, yeah. Where in your, you know, the beginning of the dream will often state the theme, and of course it's reflecting the 1 to 2 days before the dream. How long ago was your dream?
I think it was on Friday or Saturday night.
Right, so we're looking at Thursday and Friday or Friday and Saturday as the likely days for end of the week stuff, Carmen,
yes.
For what it was processing. Yes. So at the moment or around that time a week ago, was there a sense, you particularly said that I couldn't really see the purpose of studying to that higher level. Was there a sense of something in your life then that you were thinking, I can't quite see the purpose of that? On the one hand, I can, like, you know, it's back to basics, it's serious training, but I can't see the purpose. I can't see the purpose of going back to basics. And it might not be work, it might be something else, but there's this feeling of this is the scenario that the dream is going to explore quite deeply, and it's an area of, why do I need to do that? Why do I find myself in this position of not really actually being quite confused about purpose, even though the purpose seems to be advanced?
Yeah, now that you say it, it completely was out of my realm of you when I was thinking about this dream, because it was also university. But on Thursday last week, I signed a lease on a new rental property. And when you're going into a new rental these days in Brisbane, it seems like when you're renting, people do see you as very, very young, and they have to go through some really basic stuff. I'm talking about the rubbish has to go in the bin and the bin has to go outside. Like, these are things they're almost apologising to me as they're going through the rules.
Yes.
Saying, we know that you know this stuff, but please don't put a pool in the backyard and please don't put an extension on the house, like things that a regular adult would never do to a rental property. Yes. They were having to point out. And that got me a bit like, oh, I felt sorry for the real estate agent. But at the same time, I was offended on some level.
Yes.
That, okay, all right. This is stupid stuff.
I don't need to know that there's no purpose in this. That's fantastic. So already that's a beautiful illustration, Carmen, particularly for everyone listening out there, how a dream can appear to be about one area of your life, about your work or your university, and actually can relate to another area, as you so beautifully demonstrated there. As we explore your dream, and as you explore a lot of dreams, you often find that what's going on in your personal life has reflections in your professional life and other areas that can kind of all tie up together as we go through it, because you know what conflicts you're experiencing on one level you can experience in different areas of your life. But actually being able to pinpoint the situation in the 1 to 2 days before the dreams that you can relate it to makes it so much easier to go through the dream. So straight away I'm thinking that it's really interesting that you were offended and that you felt we can all relate, you would be offended, but you also had a lot of empathy for the real estate agent, and you then found yourself like, oh, maybe there's something in this, maybe I could get some serious training, this is ridiculous, I'm older than that. Then bam, straight away you're in a lecture theatre with 30 to 40 people. Now, you all know how I love numbers when they turn up in dreams, because more often than not, they're quite significant. Numbers are one thing that the brain and the dreaming mind tends to almost be quite logical about. It'll present them in a strange context, but it will usually be trying to tell you, look, I'm talking about 30 or 40 in some kind of context here. This isn't a kind of bizarre thing here. So as I'm listening to you, Carmen, I'm hearing you saying there's all these people in their 20s. They're in their 20s, and you just said now, like leasing is like normally people in their 20s, and straight away you then go into a lecture theatre where there's 30 to 40 people. So it's almost like, well, I'm now going to find out something about or look at the area of my life where I'm in this group of, presumably you are, in the 30s to 40s group.
Yeah, I'm turning 38 next month, and so I am nearly 40. And yeah, I mean, that is so much part of it. I've got a good job, I'm on good money, but I have studied for years and years and years, and this is the first sort of, you know, full year of having the, well, not the first in my entire life of having a full-time job. I've definitely had full-time jobs in the past, but this at the high level after the PhD, there is that sense of, oh, you think I could get something together? I didn't have to rent, but it's just not on the cards in the immediate future.
So you're feeling that with the rental situation is reflecting the professional standard that you might have expected 15 years ago, even though circumstances have changed for so many people in that regard. And you're feeling the pressure of 40 coming up, are you?
Not so much that, but I think it's just the contrast when I'm with younger people. I'm fine getting older. I like being old, you know, as in being older, getting older. It's much better than not being here at all. I always tell people my age. I'm not a woman who goes, oh, I'm, you know, 29 plus, da, da, da. I don't see any problem with saying the age. And it's just that sense of not I should be achieving or doing something else, but, oh, gee, for myself and a lot of other people, this is the new normal that, no, you don't go on and get a house. You know, I don't want to talk about the housing market and the financial things, all that type of thing, but, you know, things have changed. They've changed so much. And so that sense of frustration with just the way things are. Mm. I don't feel ashamed or anything, no. Just frustrated. Yeah.
Frustrated, that's good. So you see yourself in this group of, in the dream, in the lecture theatre with 30 to 40 people, and that's kind of placing you in your now cohorts, really. I'm in the 30s to 40s, or the period of time between 30 and 40. And then there's a suddenly, and I love it when anybody reads out a dream and says suddenly, because you know, yeah. Oh, this is the turning point in the dream. This is like, oh, suddenly things are different. And of course, you had suddenly these people walking in. It was a faux pas. They were too early, and your group being put out by this. We're not finished yet. And then you thinking, basically thinking, well, actually, I am. You didn't say that in the readout of the dream, but actually, I am, because I'm going to go over to this other side now. That looks much more interesting. So somewhere in there, in the day or two before the dream, is this feeling of there's an area in my life where I don't feel finished yet, and yet actually I am. I'm ready for a change here. And it's not necessarily a change in the rental market, although obviously you're going to have a change because you're moving house, but there's a distinct shift in I'm ready for a change, whether it's a change of being in my 40s or, as you've beautifully outlined there, a change for a more permanent position in your field, or more professional recognition than you've got. There's a sense of I am finished. I am finished with something that relates to being in the 30 to 40 age group. And it's come along earlier than I thought. It's 10 minutes early, but I'm ready to make a change here. But somehow, you know, you saw that as a faux pas. So was there a situation just before the dream where you felt that you maybe declared to yourself or someone else a bit earlier, like a bit of a faux pas than, you know, I'm actually really interested in making a change in my life, or I'm ready for something bigger, and oops, I shouldn't have said that. That was a bit of a faux pas.
Oh, the only thing I can think of, and it didn't feel exactly like that. It was something that I laughed at because the other person didn't want to talk about it. I said to a much older friend who's, say, he's 67 going on 68, something like that. And so I said to him something like, oh, can you give me some advice? I mean, you're an older person and you know, maybe I'm ready to settle down, but I like being by myself. And he was driving and he goes, I don't give advice on this stuff. I never get. And so I kind of laughed at him because that is so him. He's so grumpy in a delightful way. And so that's the only thing that I can sort of think of that. Yeah. I tried to have a conversation with somebody who had more experience, but he said, this is not my realm. I never give relationship advice. Let's just stop right here.
That actually makes a lot of sense and fits in well, because, you know, it's the mention of the faux pas in the dream then brings you back to, well, what was the question you actually asked him? And the conflict that you brought up with him was, should I settle down? But actually, I'm quite like being by myself. So the dream kind of did a shortcut of faux pas. Oh, you brought up this question. This is a question we're probably going to explore in the dream too. And it's that sense too of, again, I'm about to be 40 in a couple of years' time. I'm proud of that. I'm good with that. But does that mean that I should be considering this settle down versus being by myself question more deeply? And then we have the beautiful, as you've portrayed, a lovely, smiling African braids down to the shoulders lecturer come in.
She was maybe late 40s. Mid to late 40s. I forgot to mention that. So she wasn't a young woman, my age or younger. She did have 10 years on me.
And you were attracted to her in the sense of her personality and what she was teaching?
Oh, she's just really relaxed. And, you know, with people sort of getting their nose out of joint about, oh, you can't do this, she didn't actually react. I don't think she could hear the criticisms. And so she came in and I got the feeling that her class really liked her. And she was just relaxed and came into and stood at the lectern, was just having a quick quiet chat to her students and smiling and stuff. And that's when I thought, oh, I'll go down and say hello, because she seemed like, in university, that's what you do, is that you see somebody who looks incredibly professional and popular with their students and all that type of thing, and you don't run away, you go and say hello.
Yes. You take a proactive move to identify your tribe, I guess, in some sense. What your gut thought, would she have been a settled down kind of woman or a by herself kind of woman, given that that conflict had come up?
Yeah, I think that she may have been somebody who came to Australia to further her education and ended up being really sensational at it. That's the feeling that I get, because working at a university, you're constantly around people who come from overseas, and I love that. And so you do get that, you know, broad exposure to people who have families, big responsibilities, and then other people who have made very particular decisions about their independence. And I think I'm getting more of that vibe from her.
That she was on the independent side of things. And you were attracted to that. So there's that's beautifully described. So there's that feeling there of, you know, if you take the idea that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer, even though you've clearly and beautifully explained how she also represents some of the demographics within the university, it's like seeing a part of yourself that I could be like that. Maybe that's me in 10 years' time. Maybe that's me smiling and relaxed and comfortable and sensational in every respect, and embracing the independence, and having come from one situation, that the symbolism that you're thinking of is from overseas to Australia, but, you know, come from one situation into another and found herself to be sensational in it. Where are you beginning to see, because this was a suddenly part in the dream, where are you beginning to see that in your life you're coming from one sort of area into another sort of area and realising that you're really sensational in it?
Well, this is where I'm confused about where things overlap, because I have my PhD and also my personal interest in poetry, but I work still in writing, but in a very corporate environment, and it's not creative writing. I'm good at my job, and I really like my students, and I'm learning constantly because I'm mostly talking to students, international students. And what I really like is that I like working not outside the system, not against the rules, but with whatever the student needs, I'll try and get the best help for them, the best result for them. And so I'm good at something, but it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And over on my own writing and poetry front, I have a book, but you have to work if you're doing poetry. You can't. Nobody's going to invite you to the Oscars and give you millions of dollars. It's not I'm going to retire now type of deal. So even though the poetry is going well, I would love to be able to spend more time on that. But I'm spending time in a job that I'm good at and that the students really like me. Very exhausting, a lot of energy out.
That's really interesting, because, you know, you're talking about that exhaustion, and in the later part of the dream you've got the students, even though they're young, all rubbing their eyes and coming in their pyjamas. So again, that sense of if you do look at everyone in a dream as representing something about you. There's a part of yourself there that maybe even feels like I come in and I feel like I'm rubbing my eyes. I know that you wouldn't be, but it's like, you know, I either feel like I'm rubbing my eyes and wearing my pajamas, or wouldn't it be nice just for a change, just to sort of make that slow transition and come in and rub my eyes and wear my pajamas, even though you give them, or you don't give them, you give them a lecture in your head at the end about you're not prepared, you've had no personal time, you can't come into work exhausted like that.
Yeah, and if you did, if you were allowed to, there'd be a catch. That was my thing. As in, I bet you can do it if you want to, but if you did it, don't think that you would be on top of that situation. They'd use it against you at some point.
That's right, and what you said at the end of the dream was you felt that their power would be taken away if you did that. So you've got... Yeah. Putting into context what you've said, if I come into work and I don't get myself lively and get myself happening and prepare myself and have had my personal time before I come in, if I come in all exhausted, I'm going to lose my power.
Yeah, exactly. It's even though this is a very technical kind of job and you've got to know a lot of different details, at the core of it, it's still... service culture, and you need to appear, not just appear, but you need to vibe supportive. You need to listen to people. You can't pretend that you're going to listen to somebody in this type of job. You need to be awake.
Doing it. Yes, and I guess
you're editing. Writing as well, so you can't pretend to pick up mistakes. Like, you have to just pick up the mistakes. You have to be alert.
It sounds like the African woman in the dream would be a person like that, that would be paying complete and utter attention because she's so loved in the dream.
But she doesn't seem under pressure.
But
she seems like she runs the show.
So she's got her power.
Yeah.
She hasn't had her power taken away.
No.
So we've got other stuff to look at, Carmen, but we really want to tune into that aspect of yourself, which you've only just begun to notice because she only came up in a dream a week ago, and really want to almost step into her. How can you be relaxed like her and sensational like her without being exhausted and tired and have all your power? She's the power figure in the dream, and the one that you'd love to be in the dream. It's like, I'll be that in 10 years time, because you see her as 10 years older, but how can you begin to become that now? And one of the things that you do is, the moment you go and introduce yourself to her, which is great, because as you said, you do that at uni, but you know, you're introducing yourself to a part of yourself that you'd like to integrate into your being in dream speak. And you do that, but the moment you do that, you said you changed your attitude from one of being annoyed of being part of the old group to wanting to introduce myself and move on and do something different. So, you know, some of the things that annoy or frustrate you, which you've described so clearly there, you obviously do your job extremely well and work hard at being even emotionally, but you're still relatively frustrated about not being able to fully delve into the poetry and bring a totally alive body and mind into work. So, you know, those are some of the things that, when you get that attitude of being annoyed or frustrated, we want to be able to see, how can you change that? We don't just snap your fingers and go, oh, I think I'll just smile instead, because we know that doesn't work. You just get even more exhausted. But what else can you do to get out of that attitude and find a way of revitalizing and re-energizing yourself? So in that context, we have two other groups of people in the dream. We have the Scientologists who were mentioned, and we have the guy that you said was the office manager in the dream, but actually is in a different role, is someone you know is in a different role at university. So if we can look at him first, you might not be able to say what his role is when all these people are listening, but if you want to, say that. But otherwise, if you could just give us three words that you would use to describe his personality or approach to life, that would be great.
He presents well. So I suppose there's that word again, present. But he he is friendly, but there are hidden interests and hidden motivations that I've had a glass of wine and said, oh, you know, are you looking to be, you know, head of whatever? And he said, no. And so I can't, he just seems to know how everything runs. And he seems very ambitious, but at the same time, I can't work him out. Mm-hmm. Can't work him out. And I don't dwell on it. I'm very happy to just say hi, you know, because myself within this job, I'm about the students. I'm not a power player in terms of my colleagues. But I find this guy interesting, but also a complete puzzle. I have no idea.
but in your description there, you implied that he's a power player.
I think that he is. He went to great lengths to sort of inform myself and other people how he knows what other people are doing. He knows about people's personal lives, and he knows different details. Do I think that he's, you know, nasty and is planning something? No, I just think that he gets something out of knowing the details, knowing what's going on, and was maybe testing to see whether I was a person who wanted desperately to know more, but I'm really not like that at all. I'm like, oh, wow, really? Oh, okay, bye.
So, give me another glass of wine. But there was there's two interesting things that come out of that, Carmel. The first is Carmen. Sorry, the first is that you called him a power player, or you mentioned a power player, and of course our African lady in the dream has a different kind of power. She's really powerful in a different, sensational, relaxed kind of way. So there could be a conflict there between what kind of power do I, Carmen, want to have? Do I feel that in being powerful in my personal self or my poetic self or whichever area that it is, the way that I interact with students, any area at all, my independence, any of these, do I feel that there's a line over which I might step and then I would be a power player? Is my conflict, can I be 100% powerful without there being a downside to that?
You just made me think of something. In that original scene, when we're in the lecture theatre, it's one of those ones with the big sort of sloping bank of chairs. And so I do go down the steps to meet the lecturer.
Yes.
So I don't know if that is, okay, you seemingly have to get out of a particular group, it may seem like you're going down, but you're not, or something like that.
Yes.
I'm not sure. But that was the setup of the room. But she couldn't even hear the criticisms. I mean, you know, you're in one group and you're bound up in the gossip and the seeming faux pas of this mindset. Mm. And she couldn't even hear it. Mm. Didn't care. Was perfectly happy, was carrying on.
That's beautiful.
And doing her own thing.
And I love that memory of the first part of the dream of going down the stairs and it being important to mention that came up while we were talking about where on the continuum of power do you feel comfortable. So there's that sense of, as you said, it's I find myself in one group where I'm feeling that the power is wrong or that there are power players. And I want to get out of that. I want to move towards the more relaxed kind of power. To do that, I'm going down. It may feel like it's going down or downhill, but it is a decision that I've made to move out of this kind of power play camp into a real authentic kind of power, I guess. And related to that, the Scientologists have quite a lot of power over people, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think of with Scientologists is the money. I mean, that's the main, I can't get over it. I can't get over, people can believe what they want to, but the amount of cash that you have to put forward in order to move up the levels. Mm. That's what always stumps me. I think, where do people get that money from, and why? I mean, that's some serious induction to go, okay, tens of thousands of dollars, I'll do that course. I mean, that's another thing with universities and Scientology as a metaphor is... about, it's a structure about taking courses.
Yes.
It's not structured as in, oh, come to church and, you know, here's your Bible and that type of thing. Or, you know, it's not go to a temple and light a candle. Mm. It is come and do this course.
Mm. Yes.
So it's classes.
Yes. It's, I can't think of the word at the moment, but it's almost a hidden thing, isn't it? It's you feel like you're being invited to do an interesting course with a Scientologist, but it's actually much more subtle than that and powerful. So as you talked about that, you said a really interesting thing. You said, I can't get over the amount of money that you have to pay in Scientologists to move up the levels. And this is just after you're talking about moving down the levels of the staircase to the front of the room. So again, you've got this feeling of the... Although your office manager in the dream isn't a Scientologist in real life, the Scientologist and the office manager are power players that have a hidden agenda and that are all about moving up. So there may be a sense of at work and in your personal life or even in your, to begin with, the opening of the dream, the being a rental tenant rather than a house owner, all these things of, but what's the cost of moving up? And where's the power play? And do I want to be part of that power play? Or do I actually want to rent, go down to the front, find my authentic African, smiling, beautiful, powerful self that doesn't listen to, not only can't hear, but just doesn't listen to all this power play stuff? Is that where my power is?
I mean, going back to mundane things, the rental property that I've just signed up for, it's more money again, but it's a comfortable, I think that it is a more supportive, comfortable home. And so there's that conflict of you need so much money to get a comfortable house these days. As a renter, and so on one level it's seen as okay, you're not as financially you know, with it as somebody who's paying off a house, but on the other side you have to really be shelling it out to I suppose go up a level of comfort that is... We're not talking luxury here. we're still talking suburban house. I'm sort of shocked by the amount of money, and it is, and still, also 2 years ago, I was a PhD student on less than $20,000 a year. That was me for a very long time, to be on a low amount of money, and. What do I have to do? I'm just so confused about the amount of money versus being comfortable. I mean, how do you find a comfortable place for yourself, whether it's a home or creatively or at work, without just having to worry about the money all the time?
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So and the sort of undercurrent or unconscious side saying, what do I have to do for the money? Is it a power play situation? Is it something that I don't feel comfortable about doing?
I think that I'm quite lucky in this role, and I kind of resist those people who try and bring up the power play, because I see how it could, and it does, exist outside of it, but I feel like I'm almost not senior enough to lead by example in that way.
Mm.
I feel like maybe if I were older and I'd been here longer, then people would factor me in as an example of somebody who does the job really well, cares about the students, gets everything done, but can do it without the power paranoia.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the African lady in the dream 10 years on,
yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
You give a very firm thing at the end of the dream, or you don't. You say it in your head to the students. You know, you just can't turn up in your pyjamas. You can't turn up exhausted. You've got to be prepared, which is the prepared theme, which is throughout. And you've got to have some personal time to yourself before you come in. Do you feel, even though, you know, you've painted a picture of having so much on your plate, do you feel that you do have enough personal time in your life?
No way. Mm. No way. And I love being by myself. And that's one of the things that I miss about studying is that I, you know, some people go mad from it to have a huge thesis and you make up the schedule. You've got certain things to do. You've got to make your own goals, schedule it all out and make it happen. Because, yeah, my study was research. It wasn't okay, turn up the classes, coursework.
Yes.
And just having that flexibility to take the time out in the middle of the day, you know, to at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to stop, to look out of the window, to have a cup of tea or even have, you know, a half an hour nap. It didn't matter as long as I was getting the work done. And I miss that a great deal.
Is it any way at all that you even could dream of imagining that would introduce, say, that half hour of personal time into your day?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the utter privacy that I used to feel by being at home. I just don't, I'm not a person who can go, okay, I'll go and sit in a garden, you know, somewhere near the university and I'll be fine. It's not enough. I need to completely disconnect.
And at home.
I think so. And this is another thing that I've gone, oh my God, you know, what could change that for me? I need to be able to find relaxation and be able to replenish in a way that is more accessible on a daily basis.
And part of that may or may not come from the simple thing that you've chosen to move somewhere which you're paying more money for, but it's going to give you more comfort. And obviously
yeah,
there's
going to... More privacy. It's that's one of the big things.
Yes,
the bedroom, especially my bedroom at the moment. I never settled into it. I've got people left, right, and centre saying, "Oh, it's in such a great place, that house." Mm-hmm. But when somebody comes over, they walk past my bedroom window to knock on the front door, and I just can't deal with it. And at the new place, the bedroom's at the back of the house and I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Can't wait to be there.
you might be rubbing your eyes and metaphorically turning up in your pajamas to work for a while because you've got to go through all that effort of packing and actually moving and unpacking and all that terrible stuff. But you've taken that step of, you know, you're going to spend the more money, even though it might have felt like joining the Scientologists at the time, you're going to spend the money to have more comfort, which is a way of creating that better personal time and utter privacy for yourself. So you've taken that step. The dream has really shown some of the deeper levels of the questions around this, which is particularly, I think, Carmen, that I want my power, but I don't want to go too far along that line because I don't want to be involved in the power play. There's a definite sense of you feeling empowered and choosing the new group that you want to be a part of. And I think the key thing in the dream is tuning into that. How can you integrate more with the African woman smiling part of yourself that is relaxed and doesn't get her feathers ruffled by whatever else is happening, isn't into the power play, is almost down the bottom of the stairs in the lecture room, kind of like, I'm actually sensational at my work and I'm right down here and grounded. I'm not up there doing the power play thing. How can you tune more into, and particularly because you kept describing her as relaxed and smiling, how can you, relaxed, smiling and sensational sounds to me like an absolute dream recipe for where you would like to be. So I think, you know, to bring in the, because we're sort of running out of time now, to bring in the dream alchemy side of, we've explored the dream and shown how it's related to a lot of your conscious awareness of your life, but also pulled up some of the slightly more unconscious stuff, particularly around the power play and the comfort, and say, okay, so now we work with the dream alchemy on bringing that symbol more into your life, so that by, and I'll be specific on the dream alchemy in a minute, but that by working on inviting that, you, either you to step into the body of the African lady or inviting her to step into you, you get that integration. You're bringing what you perceive to be yourself in 10 years' time into yourself now. And, you know, she's there because you met her in the dream. That part of yourself is alive and well, and it's a matter of connecting with it or reconnecting with it, because she would know what to do. From the way you've described us, she's relaxed because she's worked out the formula. She's comfortable because she's worked out the formula. And at no point is she any less than sensational and loved by her students. So she's got it all worked out.
Yeah. She does. It doesn't matter how other people were upset by this or that. That just passed, and she wasn't even aware with it. She didn't get into that with them.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's also, you know, although I know from everything that you've explained here, you don't tend to get into that kind of stuff either, but because you saw her at such an extreme there, it's almost like there are more ways in which you can disconnect. I think you did use that word earlier, disconnect from the stuff that is draining.
Yes.
And and connect only with the stuff that is good for you. So of those two scenarios that I picked, I suggested there, the one is you kind of almost stepping into the African body. In other words, oh, I can imagine myself with the braids down to my shoulders and smiling and all that, that kind of scenario. Or the scenario of, here I am, Carmen, and I can feel this other energy entity get into me, and there's the two of us going. Which one of those kinds of appeals?
Well, I like I think the second one can be carried around, you know, every day. I can invoke that feeling of having that spirit inside me.
Yes. That's the one I would love you to do then. I'd like you to do two things. One is because you can so clearly see how to do it, to invoke that spirit, whether that's a visualization, whether it's a feeling emotionally, whether it's a feeling of her skin or the feeling of her hair. But knowing that, you know, this isn't an airy-fairy thing, this is actually inviting a part of yourself to be much more firmly grounded in your body. And that at any time when you find yourself asking, feeling these power play things or the Scientologist aspect of things, or even the confusion and particularly the exhaustion and the wondering, how can I fit all this into my life, to just go, I don't need to actually know that. I don't need to answer that question. All I need is, she's with me.
Yeah.
Because she would know what to do. So that is the dream alchemy, and doing that over and over again. For people listening, what you're doing here and what Carmen's doing here is interacting with a dream symbol. That part of herself has decided to show itself as the African woman with the braids, the sensational lecturer, etc. So that is a dream symbol of a part of herself. And by then interacting with that symbol and bringing it into her life, she is actually communicating with her unconscious mind to bring this more into her consciousness, into herself, to reconnect, to invoke the spirit, as you so well said, Carmen, there. That is powerful enough, and that will make a difference, and particularly the trusting of it. You know how you didn't trust the office manager because he had hidden agenda, and you don't trust the Scientologist because of the hidden agenda? This is about trusting yourself here too. You know, I trust this African woman. I can see she's got it all together. That's going to be me. But I'd also like you, because you're a poet, to whether it's a poem for publication or for a future book, or whether it's just a poem that you want to write yourself over a glass of wine tonight, to invoke a spirit in poetry and see where it goes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's great. I can't even wait to get outside and you know, walk. I've got a long street to walk down to the bus, and I can't wait to actually get outside and walk with it, if you know what I
mean. Beautiful, yes.
It's going to be great.
I think she's already with you. Well, thank you for being a fabulous guest on the Dream Show, Carmen. And let me know as time goes by how you go with that and what comes up as a result, because I'd love to know.
Yes, I will be telling you how this goes, and also I'll let you know about the poem as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Carmen was wonderful, and I'm sure that you learned lots, not only about Carmen and her life and her dream, but about how to approach your own dreams as well. And on that topic, remember to go along to dream-academy-online.com and use your coupon podcast for 20% off until the 15th of April 2017. Our next episode of The Dream Show, episode 190, gosh, we're getting close to 200, I wonder what celebration we should organise for that, is due out on the 28th of April 2017. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.